today on Real Radio.
Do you feel abandoned tonight? Do you feel absolutely zeroed out tonight? Have you been absolutely left alongside the road, left for dead? Have you been aborted, abandoned, rejected? God says, I'm not going to reject you. I'm not going to abort you. I'm not going to forget you. He's promised you that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Servant Messiah, Part 3, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thank you for spending some time with us today. You know, the book of Isaiah does an amazing job of magnifying Jehovah God as the Holy One of Israel. It also points us towards the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the one who will come to deliver us. But its final prophetic fulfillment has not yet come to pass, and that is how God will create a new heaven, a new earth, including a new Jerusalem. In parts 1 and 2 of Isaiah chapter 49, we saw that the servant Messiah is none other than God's Son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus first came to earth, his only purpose was to do God's will by suffering and dying for our sins. Still, Israel refused to believe the scriptures of the ancient prophets and rejected Jesus Christ as the Savior. But it's only when we embrace all scripture that we can only come to one conclusion. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. So today, on day 2 of chapter 49, Pastor Jack tells us that the day is coming when all of Israel will be saved. They will finally see the love and compassion God has towards them. But whether we're Jew or Gentile, we all have to accept Christ as Savior. That's why it's so important that we share the gospel message with others. And now, continuing his lesson called The Servant Messiah, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Romans chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 11 says, I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. Look at verse 11, Romans 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. Listen, the unbelieving Jew today is actually the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Paul tells the church at Rome that the Jews who pushed Jesus, Messiah, away opened up a door to the Gentile world. Those of us who are Gentiles, we should never boast that we're something and the Jews are not, because the day is coming when God is going to reach out and save the remnant of Israel again. Romans 11, verse 25, Paul goes on to say, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. Listen to this, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until everybody in Chino Hills gets saved. And Denver, and Miami, and Paris, all those who God knows, until the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles is complete, is come in. That's a freaky statement. It means that God knows how many Gentiles are going to get saved. He knows. You don't know. I don't know. So that's why we need to tell people. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. Church, listen up. Be encouraged. You may share the gospel all your life and not lead one person to Christ. Listen, the decision the person makes is not your business. You and I are supposed to share the gospel no matter what the decision is. We're supposed to share. Tell people. At some point in time, can you imagine? At some point, there's somebody walking around known only to God that's the last Gentile that is numbered. You ever seen those lottery things where the ping pong balls are going around in the tank of air, and somebody reaches in and grab a number? Can you imagine reaching in, as it were, grabbing the last, witnessing to the last Gentile, and the rapture happens? Wouldn't that be awesome? Could happen. Get out there tonight. Share the Lord with somebody. Let's get out of here. But where was I reading anyway? Verse 26, Romans 11. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, that's the Messiah, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Friends, Romans 11, 27, the Ten Commandments, the first covenant, never took away a single sin. Who did? Jesus did. It's not a what, it's a he. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14 says, but their minds, listen to this, 2 Corinthians 3:14, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. How does a Jew receive the truth just like you did? Listen, by receiving Christ. Church, listen. Don't let people fool you. Gentiles get saved this way and Jews get saved that way. Nope. Nope. Oh, I don't want to get sued. I could mention some names of very famous Christian TV personalities that you all know. And if I mentioned their names, they would sue me probably. That teach you Gentiles need to be born again, but the Jew can come some other way. No. The term born again means born from above. Who said it? Come on, Jesus said it. Who did he say it to? Was Nicodemus a Jew or a Gentile? The first guy who ever heard about being born again was a Jew. Nicodemus, a man of the law. And Jesus said, unless you're born again, you're not gonna see the kingdom of heaven. You're not going. No, you gotta be born again. Born of the Spirit of God. And when that happens, everything changes. Everything changes. And so back to Isaiah 49, verse 9, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. It's talking about deliverance. They shall feed along the roads. Their pastures shall be on all desolate heights. He's talking about the restoration. When the Jew begins to see that Jesus is the Messiah, it begins, by the way, you might want to jot this down. The Ezekiel battle, the Bible tells you in chapter 36 and 7, that when that happens, it'll be miraculous, and the eyes of Jews will begin to be opened. They're going to begin to see. It seems to start with that battle. And it crescendos. Listen to this. It continues. And what really breaks it open, Bible scholars, is the midpoint of the tribulation period. I commend you that study. At the half point of the seven-year tribulation period, you guys can read 2 Thessalonians, where the Bible tells us that at the midpoint, the Antichrist stands in the temple of God in Jerusalem, remember, and declares himself to be God. And at that, the Bible tells us the Jews who see that will freak and they will flee. From that point on, the salvation of the world and Jews from the midpoint on is absolutely beyond number. It's huge. Yeah, you see, Jack, I thought people were dying left and right. They are dying left and right. They're either dying or they're coming to faith in Christ. And it is massive. God will use the Jew during the tribulation period, and it will probably make Billy Graham look like he was playing games. I mean, one Jew preaching the God. Can you imagine just the 144,000 Jews? Remember that in the book of Revelation, beginning at chapter 7? 144,000 male, virgin, Hebrew-speaking Jews who are born again begin preaching to the world. And I don't know if they're going to use apps. I don't know if they're going to use the internet. I don't know. But can you imagine 144,000 guys that are like Paul the Apostle preaching? One Paul was enough for the world. Can you imagine 144,000 of them? And then also this, look at verses 10 to 13. The servant Messiah guides his people through to the end. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. That's an interesting book of Revelation statement right there. For he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water, he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road. This is interesting. And my highway shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. You ought to circle that word, Sinim, and go prove this true or false. The root word to that word is S-I-N-E-S-E-S. That's S-I-N-E-S-E-S. Say, who cares? Well, I honestly didn't care until I just wondered, what is that? I've never remembered reading that name. What is that name? And that is the root name, root word of the word we use today. And I'm curious if you know, does anybody know the original meaning of the words Chino Hills? What does Chino mean in Spanish? I heard it. Say it again. Chinese. Did you know these are the Chinese hills? Do you know why I got that name? Because when they were building the railroad through the valley here to LA, the Chinese railroad work camps were in the hills. That's where the work camp, the Chinese laborers lived in these hills. Santa Ana del Chino Hills is its name. So who, so what? The root word to our English word that we say China or Chinese, the root is this word here. This is the word China in your Bible, Chinese. Specifically, it means southern China. Look at that again. I'm going to call out. I'm going to bring my people from the north and from the west, and these from the land of southern China, the Bible says. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Jesus is going to bless the Jew, even though the Jew today does not bless Jesus. It's awesome. He will be their fulfillment. Very quickly, Numbers 24:17, prophecy from Moses. I see him. This is the Messiah. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. That's, ask any Jew what that verse means, and they'll say, that's about the Messiah. Malachi 4, verse 2. I'm sorry, I'm yelling at you guys. I'm very excited about the validity of my Jesus fulfilled in the Old Testament scriptures. Malachi 4, verse 2, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Psalm 2, verse 4, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord will hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them, in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten or glorified you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. That is awesome. And then verses 14 to 21, and we'll end with this push. The servant Messiah, he reveals his love for his people. Today, the Jew, you ask them about God, and their argument is, we don't believe in God because where was he? We don't believe in God because why did he allow? We don't believe because, and I understand where they're coming from, but that kind of statement is unbelief. It's the same thing when you and I say, I don't know why this happened to me. Are you a Christian? Yes. Then you and I need to strike those words from our mouths. We're all guilty of it. When we serve the Lord and all of a sudden, you know, something, the house burns down or whatever. Oh God, I just served you. How could this happen? Whoa, what are you implying? What are you saying? What we're actually saying is, God, if I serve you, you've got to be good to me. God, if I serve you, nothing bad can happen to me. If I serve you, it's got to be a rose-strewn path. Are you with me, everybody? Listen, God says, I do love you. I died on the cross for you. I rose again from the dead. I put my Holy Spirit in you. And read the fine print of my Bible until I come and pick you up. You're in a rotten, stinking, messed up world. But don't worry, I'm going to get you out of it. I'll come get you. I'm going to come get you. Just hang in there. Verse 14 says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Sounds like Zion today. Listen to what God says. This is for all of us tonight. Can a woman forget her nursing child? I don't know if that's possible or not. I've never been a woman. I've never nursed a child. I don't plan on ever doing it. But apparently, this is a very big bonding issue. God is saying, can a woman forget her nursing child? Ladies, I assume the answer to that is no. And not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. So God says, well, I guess all things are possible, but look at this. I will not forget you. God says, I won't forget you. Do you feel abandoned tonight? Do you feel absolutely zeroed out tonight? Have you been absolutely left alongside the road, left for dead? Have you been aborted, abandoned, rejected? God says, I'm not going to reject you. I'm not going to abort you. I'm not going to forget you. He's promised you that. He's awesome. Verse 16. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Wow. Your walls are continually before me. He's referring to Jerusalem. Don't mess with Jerusalem, people. Your sons shall make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes. Look around and see. All these gathered together to come to you. As I live, says the Lord, you shall surely clothe yourselves with them all as an ornament and bind them on you as a bride does. Verse 19, for your waste and desolate places and the land of your destruction will even now be too small for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you up will be far away. God's going to deliver them. Watch what happens. The children you will have, that is in the future. Listen, think of Isaiah's day. The Jews are going to be dispersed throughout all the world and they're almost going to become extinct. But God says, the children, verse 20, you will have, that is in the future, after you have lost the others, will say again in your ears, notice what the distant relatives of ancient Israel will say in the last days. Listen to this. This is what they're going to say. Quote, this place is too small for me. Give me a place where I may dwell. Close quote. This is unbelievable. God says nearly 3,000 years ago that in the end, after Israel has almost become extinct, they will recover, and they're going to recover so much that they're going to come back into their own land, and the people who come back are going to say, we need more land. Which is amazing. Now watch, everybody. Let's see how politically correct you are or are not. Israel is not the occupier when it comes to this term called Palestine. Israel was there beforehand. It was promised to them by God to Abraham. Okay? Remember, when Rome invaded Israel, it was Israel. When Rome invaded, when Rome chalked up its plans to invade Israel, they did not invade Palestine. It wasn't until 135 AD, that Rome changed the name Israel to Palestine to insult the Jews. That's 135 AD by the Emperor Hadrian. Go look it up. God says, in the end, they're going to come back, my people, and they're going to say, we need more land. Listen, every time since Israel has been attacked in 1948 to this day, every time Israel's attacked, they grow in size. You heard me right. Every time Israel's attacked, they defend themselves and they wind up taking more land. You say, well, see, they just took land. Wait a minute. Listen, the land is for them to take. How can I say that? Genesis 15, verse 8. Are you sitting down? Get some smelling salts out if you don't think I'm right. You're gonna have a heart attack here in a second. When Jesus returns, He's going to give them the land that was promised to Abraham. Did you know that? By the way, do you know the land that was promised to Abraham by God, Israel has never fully possessed. Did you know that? One guy came really close to possessing it all, but he didn't. He came close. Do you know who it is? Good. I heard his name. Solomon. Not even David. Solomon came the closest to possessing all of the land promised. This is so fun because I wish we could just now live stream right into the UN, right now. I don't care what they say in the UN. They're the unnecessary. UN, that's what it stands for, unnecessary. They don't know. They have a shockeroo coming because you know what? There's going to be ambassador coming, Ambassador Jesus. He's coming and he ain't going to pay attention to the 67 borders. He ain't going to pay attention to the 48 borders, 1948 borders, 1967 borders. Oh, no. You know what? Remember when Barack Obama said, we need to go back. We need to go back and go back to the 1967 borders. I yelled at my TV and I said, no, why stop there? Let's go way back. Let's go way back. Well, how far back do you want to go? Genesis 15, 18. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt. Anybody know the name of the river in Egypt? Nile, to the river Euphrates. Anybody know where the river Euphrates is? Iraq. Hello. The promised land that God made to Abraham, Israel, when the millennium comes, when Christ returns, he will establish that promised land. Go get out a map and mark it. It will go from Egypt, the Nile, all the way up to the Euphrates River, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. That will be the land that Jesus is king over, that and the entire earth. But that will be the land of Israel because, listen, it's so fun. That happens in the book of Revelation, but it was promised in the book of Genesis. It starts in the book of beginnings and it culminates in the book of endings. Isn't that cool? Hopefully you care. Father, you're amazing. You're absolutely awesome. Wow. If you gave these promises and you kept them with incredible clarity, and to pause for a moment and to remember that you did this, and over the surface of the earth, kingdoms came and went, despots, rulers, emperors, empires arose and vanished into the dust of time. Battles were fought, borders redrawn, landscapes changed, environment in upheaval, worlds in collision. We are humbled tonight. How dare we doubt your love for us? We praise you, Almighty God, and thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Servant Messiah, Part 3. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Now, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, why don't you come to Him today? It's the perfect time. The Servant Messiah, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day He was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And I want to remind you to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app when you get a chance. All kinds of ways to connect with everything that is Real Radio and Pastor Jack. Just simply go to your app store and download the Real Life app. You can also click your way through reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.